What's good, everyone? My name is Jacob Moses, community builder at Strongtowns, and welcome to It's the Little Things, a Strongtowns podcast where in each episode, we focus on a different action that you, the concerned citizen, the elected official, the city planner, can take to make your town stronger. This episode's action, building community through public art. Public art brings a unique value and character to our neighborhoods, and often makes our cities and towns more beautiful, more beloved, and even more economically productive. However, for many of us, when we observe the public art in our own communities, it doesn't reflect a unique character of a neighborhood. Instead, it feels like a result of top-down planning with a mass-produced design. This approach to public art may make that underpass look a little nicer, sure, but it often misses an essential element: the neighborhood's input, perspective, and contribution, ensuring that the public art accurately reflects the vision and values of the neighborhood. That's why in this episode, we have Greta McLean on the podcast, artistic director at Good Space Murals, a Minneapolis-based public art organization that promotes neighborhood-led community development through the creation of works of art. For over 10 years, Greta has used art to bring communities together, and in this episode, shares how you can use public art to build community in your own city or town. You'll learn how to create a tribe of public art advocates in your community, how to humble yourself as you partner with different neighborhoods, and how to turn stakeholders leery of public art into advocates. Enjoy. Greta, hello there. How are you today?
Good. Hello. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you. How's life in Minneapolis?
It's awesome. It's raining today. So my team just jumped off the wall, but beautiful. Summers are beautiful here.
Good. I know at Strongtowns, we got a lot of love from the Minnesota folk. Our founder and CEO, Chuck Marone, is based in Brainerd. Our content manager, who's dropping a bomb article every week on the site. He has roots from Minneapolis. So we got a lot of love for the Minnesota folk and really excited to highlight you and the great work you're doing in the Twin Cities through Good Space Murals. We got a great action to cover today, listeners, where Greta's going to help us understand how we can build community through public art. And Greta, I know you've been at this for a while through your Good Space Murals organization, doing a lot of excellent work bringing public art into our neighborhoods. So really excited to hear your story, how you make it happen, how it helps build community. To get us started, Greta, I'd love to know, what did you observe in neighborhoods across the Twin Cities that motivated you to start Good Space Murals?
You know, the reason that I started Good Space Murals was because I love painting murals more than anything. So the observation sort of came as a secondary piece. I had a teacher, my maestro, my professor, when I was going to school in California. I was studying under a Chicano muralist who was really big in like the 60s and 70s in the Bay Area, painting community murals and doing community poster making. And I was like working under him, like, this is what I want to do. I want to make community-based work that's going to change the world. And California is fantastic. And then my maestro was like, honey, like, if you're gonna do community work, you have to go to your community. And I was like, dang it, so much colder here. But you know, that's like the real challenge, right? To go home and to dig in from where you're from.
Absolutely.
And when I did bring these tools home, then I really saw, like, oh, you know, Minneapolis is completely, it's like primed to really receive this work and to kind of explode what this work can do. We have a great long history of community-based public art actions in Wonderful. Minneapolis, a lot of puppetry here. So I was raised in that. And as soon as I took a second like to move away from that is when I realized, oh, snap, this is really awesome and unique to Minneapolis. And how do I use and take my mural practice and just start getting into the schools, getting into different communities, and kind of bringing those actions up into like the visual infrastructure of the actual walls and the buildings.
Yes. So Greta, let's give listeners a mental image of what your work actually looks like. I know whenever
Before I joined Strong Towns, when I first thought of public art, it was, you know, whenever I'm driving underneath the highway and maybe the city put up a little beautification mural. What does Good Space Murals public art look like? Help your listeners a mental image as we continue to unfold the all story.
So we like big walls. So we tend to make like really, big pieces of like mural painting that's out in kind of unexpected places, out in, on the, like the facades of public schools, on the grocery stores, in my neighborhood, in our neighborhoods. And what we do is we make very, it's kind of like, it's painterly, it's very handmade, it's well-crafted, but community-produced public art. And so the whole idea is that people can see their contribution to the piece. But at the end of the day, they're big, beautiful, high quality public art pieces, that we invite the whole community to fabricate with us. And a lot of people, we use a lot of, large scale portraiture just to kind of highlight who our heroes are and kind of as a recentering of power, who we're, kind of seeding to hold the power in this new iteration of our community's life and story.
Greta, you mentioned that Good Space Murals takes a community approach to public art. I know you said Minneapolis has been doing the game right for a bit now with its public art. Is that unique to Minneapolis, this community approach to public art? I know you said they were doing it right in California. Is this the norm in communities, or is this an element that many communities are missing out on when they approach public art?
It feels new. It feels new. It feels like Minneapolis is just uniquely open to it because we have different things like the May Day Parade that is a big community-built festival that happens every year and has been going on here for like 40 years. So there's this like, oh, we all make it together. That makes sense. And Minneapolis is kind of open to that. But that's not the case in a lot of other communities where we travel. So we've found and kind of honed our craft here, and the communities have been really open and receptive as we are kind of making mistakes and creating our model and our formula. And now as we're bringing it outside of Minneapolis, that's when we really get to see how unique and special it is. And it's pretty exciting. It seems like it actually is something that's pretty unique, and hopefully it becomes a new norm, because I think that public art is asking for it. The public sphere needs this. So it almost feel like it's in like a rat race with street art, not to put down street art at all, but like street art is doing one thing and community built public art is doing something else. And at some ways, we need them both, but we definitely need, to be able in community to see ourselves reflected in our buildings. And so this, community made muralism piece needs to come hand in hand with any kind of street art so that we can continue to claim the art that's going up around us.
Do you think we lack community-led art, public art, Greta, because, you know, maybe we have the wrong perspective of what it does for a community? I imagine if we only consider it as, you know, a form of beautification, you know, it makes sense for maybe the city to say, okay, we'll have a budget to do public art now and then. Do you think that our perception is wrong when it comes to public art for neighborhoods?
I mean, yes. And I think it's growing. There's a lot of neighborhoods that are doing better and better with this, or city makers that are seeing this. We do have like a big kind of, what's it called, creative city type or creative placemaking type movement that's happening. Yeah. And that's super exciting and really has kind of supported our work moving forward. But you know, we've had such this idea of like plop art, or who is the artist, sure, and who is allowed to like make a piece of work, and oh, don't question the artist because the artist knows best, coming in and we commission a piece of art and there you go. And then we've had these other movements of community murals, and maybe there's like a lot of handprints on that mural.
Yeah.
And you can tell like, oh, a lot of people made it, and that's cute, but it's not exactly lifting us the way that,
sure,
that murals can lift us. So we're trying to, with Good Space, trying to find like a medium where there's like, we're kind of falling in between both of those things. So we're bringing like our artistic training and skill set as like a vehicle to hold and fabricate with the community, so that by the end of the day, we all claim this as we made this piece together, but it's also super high quality, will last a long time, and it's something that's really beautiful.
So Greta, this transitions well into what I want to talk about next, and that's the process of how Good Space Murals works with neighborhoods. You know, we've learned that super unique is not a top-down approach, the city just picking a random wall to paint a random design. You're in the neighborhood. You're figuring out what the institutions want, what the neighborhood wants, and then, you know, giving them a sense of pride by working together on a mural. Could you elaborate more about this process and hopefully give listeners some tips about, you know, how they can humble themselves as they enter a neighborhood and consider how their interactions with their neighbors can result in a beautiful piece of public art?
Awesome. Well, I think that's right. Like, you do have to, in some ways, like, humble yourself and recognize that you might not know. You probably don't, especially if you're entering into a neighborhood or into a community as an outsider. Yep. And so often we are commissioned to do work in different communities. And one of the hardest and kind of most crucial point in the whole process is the design process, right? Because that's when we come in, we start relationship building, and we really say from the get-go, you guys know what this work can do. We are here to listen to you. You are the experts in your home, in your community, in your story. And we have this great container, this great vehicle. We're going to make a beautiful mural about it, but we have no idea what to make until we are in community with you. And that's a really, vulnerable place to hang out as an artist.
Absolutely.
It's a vulnerable place to hang out as a stakeholder. So as someone who's commissioning this kind of work, I think it's a really scary place to hang out also. Because, you know, you're opening yourself up to critique, you're opening yourself up to failure potentially, and you're really opening yourself up to say, yo, I'm really going to sit back and listen to you. I'm not going to continue to take action saying I'm listening to you. I'm going to pause and I'm going to listen, even if what you say makes me feel so uncomfortable. And that's, I think, where the real power of this begins.
I love that, Greta. And you're right. It's a challenging position to be in. I mean, I think about how your approach with Good Space Murals aligns with Strongtown's. You know, whenever we say, how are we going to invest in a neighborhood? It starts with, you know, humbling ourselves, walking around the neighborhood, seeing where people struggle and make a small improvements to help with that struggle.
Yeah.
But whenever we come from, you know, that position of being an expert, like I imagine as an artist, of course, through your schooling and the great experience you have, you know what good art looks like. You know design elements. But when it comes into the neighborhood, I bet it's challenging at times to be, you know, having to adapt that approach, but understand that in the end, that final product is one that's really going to give the neighbors a sense of pride and likely boost their morale for the neighborhood. Have you seen that that's often the outcome from this approach?
Oh, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, we walk away and, you know, and even if there's these moments where you're like, man, this first iteration of the sketch was way like stronger, you know, or like poppier artistically from my one perspective. At the end of the day, any changes that we make, any kind of, you know, that again, that humbling, that sitting back and letting the community take control more and more is what ultimately makes these pieces, you know, really take hold in the neighborhood, and it like allows it us as the artists to walk away and the community to continue to celebrate this as their piece.
Yes.
And that's what's, you know, again, like we're not going to stay there and be like, look what I made. It's all about us. You know, it has to be like, no, this is look at our mural. Can I tell you about our mural that's in our neighborhood?
Love it.
I mean, that's when you're like, this worked. That's like, I think when you gauge what success looks like, that's a big marker of success.
I love it, Greta. And what excites me most about it is, you know, at Strongtowns, we use this term strong citizens a lot. These are people who, you know, love where they live and want to do what they can to make their neighborhood stronger. I wouldn't doubt that oftentimes just starting off with that shared ownership of a piece of public art can kickstart that community engagement. You know, maybe neighbors had a sense of, you know, feeling like the neighborhood was in decline. It wasn't getting a lot of love from public infrastructure, maintenance, but they had this organization come in and say, hey, I want to work with you to create something beautiful from your perspective. How have you noticed the shift in the neighborhood's, you know, sense of pride and sense of ownership and morale following a Good Space mural?
Well, that's an awesome question. To back up, it always feels like when we walk into one of these neighborhoods, the one of like the first steps is always to sort of, to identify who are those, like you're saying, these, I love this idea of the strong citizen. So who are those movers and shakers that are holding the relationships in these communities?
Yeah.
And how do we align with them so that we aren't coming saying, look what we're going to do for you. It's yeah. more like, hey, we're here and we would like to partner with the, with you who are already doing this work. And when we can enter in that kind of respectful way of, we see that you are already working. Because yes. often in these places, and even if we can't see it, yeah, on the, like in that, it, maybe the, again, we're lacking the infrastructure. You can tell that things are falling apart and that yeah. people, you know, aren't quote unquote, as we see it, taking care of the spaces. But we don't know the internal work that's already started. So it's always important to be like, oh man, I'm interested. What is the organizing that's already happening here? And how can we use this tool or offer this tool as a way to, for you to show the world the work that you guys are already growing here?
Love it.
So that piece is always really, really important. And then one thing that we do notice is that when we can enter in from that space, you know, and that can be a process that can be like a, you know, that can be tricky sometimes. And that's a lot of like where we end up having to like be real again, humble and figure it out and ask for forgiveness as we're figuring out how to get into these spaces. But then once you're in, there is that sense of, wow, you guys decided to make your mural here. You're giving us this piece. You think I'm the one that should be painted three stories high on this building?
Wow.
There is that sense of like, oh my God, I didn't even see myself. And now as you're showcasing, you know, our community to the world, we also are able to see ourselves. And that like that, that can really start to seed a big system shift.
So Greta, you've done an excellent job of really letting us know what Good Space Murals is all about. You know, it starts with going into the neighborhoods, understanding the needs of the neighborhoods, what they want to see for their neighborhood in the form of public arts, and help making that happen. Imagine many listeners are inspired and, of course, want to see a similar approach to public art in their own neighborhoods. They're tired of these mass-produced murals underneath the highways. For listeners who are interested in having a similar approach to Good Space Murals, how do you recommend they even get started in this process?
I mean, we think that one of like the keys to really kicking off a project like this and getting people stoked is to, well, there's, I would say, I'm going to give you a couple keys. One is that thing of like identifying who again are like the movers and shakers in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And aligning a project with them and saying, okay, if we were to do a mural, what would the theme be? What can this mural do? What do we need right now? And how can we seed that out in the world so that anybody that's driving by can like, you know, affirm that back to us, project that back at us, and then we can also claim it. So we have to figure out what it can do. And it's awesome when the idea of the mural and the idea of what it's going to do, if it, is it going to be like a, you know, a seeding, some like the positive future for our youth? Is it going to be celebrating our history? Is it going to be, you know, a goddess of protection? What is it that we need, right?
Yeah.
So if that can come from the neighborhood, that's like a really good way to begin. And then I would say one of the keys to making this these things really successful is finding ways in which the community can actually help you make the piece. So a huge, like our second phase of creation of these murals is our fabrication phase. And we like to do these things called paint parties, where we actually go out on the street, we make sure there's music, we make sure there's food, we make sure anybody that wants to do any kind of tabling about any kind of issues or anything that they're doing is present. And then we all sit and we paint together.
Love it.
And that's a really fun way for us to make these pieces of public art, these murals, points of connection. Because you might sit next to someone and paint with them. You don't even have to talk to them. But in the future, you might remember that person. Like, oh, remember that one time we both worked on that mural together? We yeah. have that in common. What else could we possibly have in common? So there's these bridging moments. That if you can get a lot of people together to help make it, can really make the piece take off. And then I would say documentation and celebration all throughout. Document and celebrate. make sure that all the work that's happening is housed in a party. That this is us taking back the party. And we're going to take pictures about it. We're going to blow it up on the internet. We're going to make yard signs about it. And we are going to host these paint parties so that we can all paint this piece together. And then we're going to have celebrations about it. We'll have an unveiling together. So the idea of party feels like a really sweet way to seed that community ownership throughout the whole process.
Document and celebrate. I love that, Greta.
Document and celebrate.
That's awesome. And I imagine this public art is really just the beginning of neighborhood-led investment on these blocks. Have you seen the public art that Good Space Murals has helped facilitate spur any additional neighborhood-led investment?
We've done a number of workshops. And the workshops where different artists have come in and learned from us, and then a bunch of murals have come out of that.
Cool.
We've also done a bunch of murals in schools. And it's kind of incredible because when you go to a school, we've done school-wide projects where we actually get over like 600 kids involved in the making of the mural. And then also their parents. And all of those people touch, you know, their brushes all touch these pieces. And to think that that many kids are now like, I'm a muralist, is just seeding a new generation of students who are then going to be young adults, who are then going to be adults, who are all like turned on to this art form. There's actually a class that has opened up in a public school here in Minneapolis where they're teaching muralism in a middle school. And it was so sweet. I went and guested in that room and I was like, hi, I'm Greta. And like, how many of you have painted a mural with me? And there was like 10 people in the room that had done murals on other, when they were kids, and they're now creating these murals, and really taking this on. So it feels like it's, again, just beginning. Like there's going to be a whole wave of muralists who are coming out who have been trained in this way of working. And that's going to be really, really a lot of parties to document as we're taking our streets.
I want to talk about a common challenge that I imagine many listeners have experienced and one I'm currently experiencing here in downtown Denton. And that's the relationship between public arts and historical districts. So I'll give you a brief background about what's going down in Denton right now. We recently did new design standards for our downtown historic square, and now we're considering design standards that would ban murals downtown. What are people missing whenever we disassociate public arts with historic districts? What is their concern usually, and how can we help ease those concerns?
It's such a heartbreaking story, and I hate when that happens. I just feel like it's such a miss, right? And we are in a time where we are seeing the power again of that of being vulnerable and showing up in the unknown. And this idea of, well, we have to control the visual standards or the historic standards of our downtown just feels like what you're saying is we're going to continue to control who is allowed to feel comfortable in these spaces, who's That's allowed right. to feel welcome in these spaces, and we're not going to continue to push on on who's again like the what the walls are telling us, and that's heartbreaking. That's a heartbreaking story because again, what we are doing with breaking these visual norms or breaking the norms of our buildings is in fact like breaking the systems that are in some ways telling us, communicating how we are supposed to be. And a lot of those norms exclude various members of our community from feeling welcome, from being even allowed to show up in these spaces. So, that's a form of discrimination that's really rough, right? When you're like, dude, that's so backwards. Don't do that. So I think really coming showing up at different downtown neighborhood association meetings or different with your local government and saying, hey, just so you know, every marketer can tell you the power of our visual fields, right? We're being sold things all of the time. If you are saying that we need to uphold the visual, this historic facade of our downtown districts, what is the story that you are supporting here? And how is that potentially limiting us and our city and what our city can be? And have you asked the city, the community, how they perceive that store and how that affects them, and who does not feel welcome in those spaces. Because a lot of the systems that oppress certain groups in our community are invisible to a lot of people, right? They're not necessarily glaring at us, like telling you, you are not allowed to be here. No, they are subtle, but they are communicating. And so part of this, like what makes, I think, this work in some ways almost revolutionary, let's just say revolutionary, is that that we are saying, we see the power of the commercial, we see the power of the billboard, and we're taking back that space. And instead of you selling us something or you telling us who we are or who we are allowed to be, we are now taking back our own stories, and we are taking back our own buildings, and we are sharing how we see ourselves and where we are going. You are no longer allowed to tell us that. And that's the bigger work that's underneath the power.
And for people, maybe some of these historical commissions, it doesn't mean they still can't have systems in place to make sure that we're preventing any kind of vandalism. Instead, we're allowing property owners to at least give people an opportunity to create this beautiful public art. Sure, have your systems in place, but don't, as you said, disallow people who are equally a part of our neighborhood to express themselves through public art. Yeah. It sounds like a missed opportunity, but really appreciate the advice that you shared, Greta. I'm hopeful that's going to be helpful for other listeners as well.
You know, there's one other thing that I'll just add there that's a really, I think, important safeguard that can help everybody, just because we want everyone to feel comfortable with the process, right? You might be having to face things that make you uncomfortable, but everybody is invited here. So if the idea is that everyone's invited, how do we make systems so that people see, like, oh, I'm going to be taken care of in this new process that scares me? And one of the tools that we've come up with that we really like is this idea of having a mural or a public art approval committee. And we make sure that that committee is not, they aren't the ones that are telling, you know, everyone gets an equal vote on that committee. And we make sure that that committee is handpicked. So it represents, you know, our neighborhood, like our neighbors, our youth, our city officials or not, our small businesses or not. We get to choose who's on that panel, so that at the end of the day, when we come up with a sketch, there is an editing process and a space for people to say, oh, that really makes me uncomfortable. That piece doesn't quite capture our community story, or you really got it. So at the end of the day, when that sketch is, before it's even made, when the sketch is approved, it jumps from being one artist's vision to being our sketch. It's no longer my sketch as the artist or our sketch as Good Space. It is the community, our sketch that we are making as a neighborhood. And then we can really take it and claim it. And that also helps because it gives you a space to edit it. So there's a, like, I'm not going to get some kind of crazy thing that makes, you know, that looks like garbage on the wall. Like, no, you get to see what we will be making all together.
That's right. And then we get that community input to make sure it's a final product that reflects the neighborhood.
That captures our story.
I love it, Greta.
Yeah.
Well, Greta, this has been an absolute joy, and I appreciate taking the time to share the Good Space Murals story with us. And yay. I know I'm inspired by it, and other listeners as well would be, to, you know, just help them kind of change the perspective of public arts. You know, it doesn't have to be mass produced. It doesn't have to be in places where we don't even find ourselves walking and hanging out. It can really invigorate and boost people's morale in the neighborhoods in which they live. Greta, for people who want to learn more about you, connect with the Good Space Murals movement, where can people connect with y'all online?
So we are at goodspacemurals.com, Good Space Murals, all one word. And then we're also on Instagram, Good Space Murals, and Facebook at Good Space Murals.
Perfect.
Check us out.
Well, Greta, thank you so much. This has been a joy, and we'll chat very soon.
Awesome. I love it. Thank you.
Thanks, Greta. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. If you're enjoying the content, please subscribe to It's the Little Things on iTunes, and we will chat next week. See ya.